What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Friday. Happy Friday. The weekend is here. Today is Friday, September 27th, and this is, of course, your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, do we have a packed episode for you today. Perfect to play while you're killing time in the office on the final day before the weekend. I hope everybody had a good week. I hope you have a great weekend planned ahead. Eagles, Buccaneers, of course, on Sunday. Big game before the bye week. But yeah, so let's get into everything that we have to talk about today. We got injury updates. We have the schedule for Friday. We have Jalen Carter audio, Jordan Davis audio. We have a breakdown of the Eagles offensive line versus the Buccaneers defensive line, which is maybe the biggest matchup in the game. And Jalen Hurts, Todd Bowles are part of that matchup. We're going to hear from Jordan Mailata on what makes that such a tough matchup. And then we have Dan Orlovsky of ESPN with, I would say, a bold statement on Jalen Hurts, probably one we can discuss for hours on Go Birds Radio. But I want to play that audio for you guys so that you can hear it. So before we get into all that, let's start where we do every Friday, how we start every daily Go Birds pod. The schedule for today. Today is the Eagles' final day of media availability, in some ways their final day of practice, before they head down to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. As of now, it looks like there'll be no delay in their flight because of Hurricane Helene, I believe is how it's pronounced. I can't even pronounce hurricane names. To any listener of the Go Birds pod that might be down in Tampa or anywhere in line of where it looks like this hurricane is going to hit, well wishes sent your way. I hope everything goes okay and that you were able to not have anything, not damage or anything happen from this hurricane. So, yes, the Eagles look like they will fly out on time on Saturday, which is good news as of now. So, on the schedule for Friday at 11:25 a.m., Nick Sirianni will speak to the media. He never gives any injury updates, to be honest, so we'll see what he has to say. Don't expect to hear much from Nick about that. 12:25, practice begins. This will be the last chance for the media to see the team, see who's out there, AJ, Devontae, Lane, all those things. So 12:25, and then locker room at 1:45, last chance to speak to the players before the game. So everything wraps up today as they prepare for the game against Tampa Bay on Sunday. But as we talked about on Thursday's pod, the big news with this game and kind of the big thing to watch as the week has gone on is the injury report. And the injury report for both the Eagles and Buccaneers on Thursday is obviously out, and it is not good for the Eagles, and it is better for the Buccaneers. So not what you want to hear heading into the game. First, let's get into the Eagles injury report. On Thursday, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Lane Johnson did not practice. A.J. and Devontae were not even out at practice at the portion open to the media. Lane Johnson was there, and he was stretching with the team at first, but it didn't appear he had a helmet, and he did not practice. So Lane, A.J., and Devontae, is it possible they play Sunday? I think Lane has the best chance of playing, but I honestly think Devontae and A.J. will just be flat ruled out when the injury report comes out on Friday. So looks like the Eagles will head into this game without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith in some potential hope that Lane Johnson can play. Obviously, all three huge losses, you know, three of the top five players on the team right there. So a big loss if they don't play. The concerning news as well from the injury report is that Milton Williams was limited on Thursday with a groin injury. Now, Milton Williams was not on the injury report on Wednesday, limited on Thursday with a groin injury. Milton Williams has been awesome so far this season. We've spent a lot of time in recent Go Birds talking about all the Georgia players, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Moro Ojomo has gotten some shout outs. Obviously, he's from Texas, not Georgia. But Milton Williams has been really, really good this year, and he stands out as well when you watch the tape. Losing him on Sunday would also be a pretty big loss because Jordan Davis doesn't play 60% of the snaps. Like, the depth is key there, and Milton Williams is one of their best defensive linemen, to be completely honest. He's been awesome this year. So that's not good news for the Eagles. That'll be a big one to watch on Friday. And then the good news is Mekhi Becton, Landon Dickerson, and Darius Slay were all full go. Mekhi Becton dealing with that finger injury, Landon Dickerson a wrist, Darius Slay a knee injury, but all full go. So heading into Friday, you know, it's the hope and prayer that AJ Lane and Devontae are at practice, and Milton Williams big time worth watching on Friday as he apparently deals with a groin injury. So the injury news for the Eagles is not good. For Tampa Bay, it's it's better, to be completely honest. So a few of their key players went from limited on Wednesday to a full participant on Thursday. Center Graham Barton, the rookie out of Duke, he was limited on Thursday. He was a full participant with his ankle injury on Thursday. And then Luke Goedeke, their right tackle, it appears he is out of the concussion protocol as he was a full participant. So it seems that they will have their full starting offensive line on Sunday against the Eagles. Now, as we detailed in the last Go Birds Daily, which you should go check out, I still think they can get pressure on Baker Mayfield, but it at least looks like they're going to have a healthy offensive line. So Buccaneers fully healthy on their offensive line. Now, something worth monitoring, still limited for the Buccaneers. Mike Evans with a knee injury, Chris Godwin with a neck injury, Tristan Worf with a he's dealing with an injury as well, obviously their tackle. I would think all three are going to play. There doesn't seem to be much buzz that they'll actually miss, but three of their, arguably their three best players, all limited. You know, you wonder if they're just resting them and not giving them a ton of reps. But look, when Friday comes around, there's a chance they're listed as questionable. So certainly not great news for the Buccaneers there. And then straight up didn't practice. Bucky Irving, their backup running back, he was limited on Wednesday with this hamstring injury, didn't practice on Thursday. He's been their best running back so far this season. He has considerably more production than Rashad White. So Bucky Irving not playing is a big deal, like especially for an Eagles run defense that has struggled for most of the season, obviously didn't struggle last week. No Bucky Irving is a big deal for the Buccaneers. And then Antoine Winfield, their star stud safety, didn't practice with a foot injury for the second day in a row. It doesn't seem he'll play. So while the Buccaneers got good news on their offensive line, they're definitely still dealing with some injuries. It would be pretty wild and depressing for both fan bases if A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin all didn't play. But my guess is Mike Evans, Chris Godwin do play. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith do not play. The last little bit of injury news for you guys, Britton Covey was in the locker room on Thursday, and it seems like he's probably going to be out maybe a little longer than just the IR stint. Seems like it might be a week or two after that as he deals with his injury. And it's unfortunate. He's, you know, really starting to kind of get his career going, getting snaps on offense, had a few catches, has been a good punt returner. You hate to see someone that's worked that hard to get to where he is at, have an injury set him back. So Britton Covey, unfortunately, out a few more weeks, it sounds like, than just that IR stint. So that is the injury update for you all. Friday, maybe we'll do a Go Birds Daily just to get that final update in. But yeah, Friday will be a big day. My guess is AJ and Devontae ruled out, Lane questionable, and then we'll see about Milton Williams. So that will wrap up the injury report. Now, let's get into some of the stuff that happened at practice on Thursday. And as we talked about with James on the Go Birds pod, the Georgia defensive lineman continued to be a big part of the story this week after how well they played last week. I got a chance to talk to Jalen Carter, and as we talked about early in the week, I think Vic Fangio has really helped him, has really kind of maybe added some discipline into that work week for him and making him a better player on Sunday. And I asked Jalen Carter about that, and here's what he had to say.
He's helping a lot. You know, just when he first got in here, starting off with, oh, we need to do this more, do that more, or run more, and stuff like that. I think that all helps with me and everybody else on the team as a defense.
What's he like behind the scenes, Vic?
He's cool, calm. This morning I just walked in and, you know, I kind of walked past him to go to my seat. He was like, hey, you gonna say good morning? I was like, my bad, good morning. But he's very cool, calm, quiet, and he'll talk.
Well, while you were critical of your performance calling it trash, it felt like last game was a silence the critics type of game for you. So how do you build off of that and carry it forward?
I don't know, man. It's just football. You know, it's not trying to silence nobody. I'm here to play for my team and try to get a dub and help the best way possible. I'm not here trying to silence nobody or say, oh, now nah, look at me do this and that. Nah, I'm just here playing for the team and getting a dub every week.
So I definitely think it's noteworthy he brought up like the conditioning. You know, it seems like Vic worked them hard and they're seeing the results of that. I think Jordan Davis still some plays where he looks a little tired, but he was playing in the fourth quarter and playing well. So overall, you've seen, at least while the production has not been there for them, you have seen that they seem to be in better shape. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, all of them really, than they were last year. In fact, the Brandon Graham playing this well in the 16th season. You wonder how much that has to do with how Vic Fangio got them ready for the season. I thought the funny thing there from Jalen Carter was when he said that, you know, he walked in the meeting, didn't say hi to Vic, and Vic was kind of like, hey, you're not going to say hi? You know, you just, it's another kind of, you wonder how much Vic is talking to these guys that Jalen Carter didn't even say anything. Obviously, Vic's the one to tell him to say hi there, but certainly doesn't sound like Vic has, you know, buddy, let's catch up about the Phil's relationship with a lot of these players. Vic Fangio is a big Phillies fan though. So maybe, who knows, maybe they're talking about that, but yeah, Jalen Carter played unbelievable. And I do think Fangio deserves credit for that, whether he's friends with these guys, buddy with them. I do think he is getting the best out of them, so far, at least. Jordan Davis also spoke, and Jordan Davis, I just think, A, it's noteworthy that he spoke because this is a little, you know, inside the dugout, behind the scenes baseball. But Jordan Davis hasn't really been in the locker room this year during media availability. And even today, he was only there for the last few minutes and only talked for a minute or two. When they first drafted Jordan Davis and me and James talked about the draft pick, I remember saying I didn't really like it just because I don't think you take a run-stopping defensive tackle that high. And James made a lot of good points. Like, you take a chance on an athletic lineman, all those things. But after meeting Jordan Davis and getting a chance to talk to him, I did like the pick more. I think that of the three, he probably has the best leadership qualities, as good as Nolan Smith can be. I do think that that Jordan Davis, you know, when you combine his ability to play with the with his leadership attitude, I think he maybe has the best complete package of the three. But Jordan Davis spoke today, and I think he sounded like a leader. So I'm just going to kind of play the whole interaction with him and let you guys decide yourself. But here's what he had to say. And it starts with, he's asked how Jalen Carter played on Sunday. And he starts with saying it was exceptional. So here's Jordan Davis talking about that.
Exceptional. I just love seeing the ball. Obviously, we all on one last week. We just have to make sure that we keep going. But at the end of the day, very proud of the way he played. But we can't, you know, that last week is last week. We have to make sure that we continue that this week.
Jordan, how do you think Vic Fangio has helped your game so far since being here?
Putting us in the best positions. You know, if it means that we have to do something different, then this is what we have to do. But working on adapting, working on changing. His scheme is fun. And at the end of the day, he's going to put us in the best position to win. And that's not even just for the D-line. That's for the linebackers. That's for the DBE. So anything that he calls, that we're going to play with the best ability that we can and make sure that we get after it.
How do you think you've improved so far this season based off last year?
Just had to keep going, man. We just had to keep going. I'm not really looking at the, you know, trying not to think about stuff like that. I'm just thinking about what I have to do this week. What I have to do, you know, we had a good performance last week. We have to be even better this week. And we just have to make sure that we keep that same mindset, because if we get complacent, if we keep doing the same things that we've been doing, we're not going to get better. We just want to focus on getting better.
Fletcher Cox was saying he reached out to some of the guys after week one. What was kind of his message to you? Man?
Get back to it. It's a poor performance, but at the end of the day, you know, Fletcher doesn't seem it. He knows what it is to be in this game, and, you know, we take whatever he says, you know, very, very seriously. And, you know, just the fact that he's reaching out, you know, just shows how much he cares about his team, how much he cares about us being the best that we can be. But, you know, we listen, take heed. And then at the end of the day, we just make sure that we improve our performance. And we did that last week. We just had to make sure that we do it again.
What's Vic like behind closed doors?
I mean, he's like, what you see is what you get. I mean, it's nothing behind closed doors. I mean, he's going to tell you how it is. And, you know, we love him for that. But if he says we've got a problem, then we got to fix it. And he has the same mindset that we do. So we just do anything that we can to win. And that's the most important stat of the day. Sure.
So I really think Jordan Davis has a whole new mindset this year. Not that he wasn't a serious player before, but, and look, maybe it's just, you know, like he's got the new military style haircut. But I do think, like, listening to him, the times I've gotten to talk to him, the way he's approaching this year, that dude is all business this year. And look, it makes sense. I mean, I've talked to people with the Eagles about this, not him specifically, but, you know, we expect these guys to come in at 21 years old and be the best version of themselves. Like, how many of you guys would you say were at your best? I've been covering Eagles for 12 years. Like, I don't know when I, you know, was I at my best my first or second year? Absolutely not. Like, I don't know what year I even really became completely comfortable doing it. Some would say I'm still not completely comfortable doing it. But I do think now that Jordan Davis is in his third year, he's more of a leader. Just being around him and, like, looking at the look on his face and the way he talks, and hopefully it came across in that audio, the man sounds like he is on a mission, and I was impressed with how he played against the Saints. He looks like he's still in good shape. Again, a guy his size is always going to be tired for certain snaps, but I was really, really impressed by Jordan Davis in the locker room and just kind of how he talked, what he had to say. Major leadership vibes from Jordan Davis there. So a good day in the locker room, you know, Jalen, Jordan Davis, guy seemed happy. I think that win was a big one for this team. I think coming off that Falcons loss, they needed some positivity. So, you know, it's good to see a happy Eagles locker room on Thursday. So the other piece of news, it's not even really news, but the other thing that's making its rounds on the internet, on social media, is ESPN's Dan Orlovsky talking about Jalen Hurts. And what Dan had to say about Jalen Hurts is not something Eagles fans are going to want to hear, but it's essentially that Jalen Hurts peaked and the Eagles will probably never see the 2022 version of Jalen Hurts again. So here's what Dan Orlovsky had to say.
I think we've seen the best of Jalen Hurts. Yes, I think that's fair to say.
When you say yes, the version that led them to the Super Bowl or the version after that?
I think the version that led him to the Super Bowl, that 2022 season and playoff stretch, that's the high.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to recapture that. One, because of the style of the offense. Two, because we saw this just rocket-like improvement. And really, since that Super Bowl, and it is absolutely accurate to say, in that Super Bowl, he outperformed everybody on the field.
Unbelievable. Including Patrick Mahomes.
But there hasn't been the improvement since then. Yeah. He's holding on to the football for such a long time. And that's a problem at quarterback. When you hold it in this league, it usually spells poor play. Bad.
So there's a lot to unpack there. And, you know, maybe this will be something we'll talk about with you guys at Go Birds Radio on Saturday. Here would be my thoughts on that. So, like, getting to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl is really, really hard. And I'm not, like, obviously it's like, duh. But I think sometimes when, you know, he says that, it's like, is Jalen ever going to be a top two player in the NFL, nearly win MVP, and almost win the Super Bowl again? Yeah, the chances of that are pretty slim. Like, Jalen doesn't have to be the exact player he was in 2022 to reach that level again. I mean, Aaron Rodgers went to, what, two Super Bowls his entire career? Peyton Manning went to, I believe, two or three Super Bowls his entire career. Really, only Tom Brady goes all the time. Like, that's it. Outside of that, the all-time great players often never reach the height again that they at one point in their career achieved. So what he does bring up and what's shown on a graphic when he does, when he's talking about this is two things. One, he brings up that he's holding on to the ball longer than he has. And I looked that up to see if that's true. In 2022, Jalen Hurts, his average time to throw was 2.86 seconds. It was about 17th in the league among the 25 qualifying quarterbacks. So near the bottom of the league. In 2023, he held it for 3.11 seconds. Obviously a little bit of an increase there. And then this year, he is holding it the longest in the NFL, 3.28 seconds. Now, you can look at that and say 2.86 to 3.2, that's a half of a second. What's the big deal there? It just matters. Like, it matters in the NFL. Half a second's a big deal. I mean, he's creeping up on a full second longer than he held it in 2022. And that is a dramatic difference. So and then the other thing that's brought up when he's talking is the turnovers. And we've discussed the turnovers at length, you know, only 8 turnovers in 2022. Obviously since then he's turned the ball over 26 times in, you know, 24, 23 games, whatever it is. So clearly the turnovers are a problem. We beat that to death. He absolutely has to stop turning the ball over if he wants to be the player that can take a team to the Super Bowl. It's not about being the player he was in 2022. It's about, can he be the player that gets the Eagles to the Super Bowl? And the turnovers are a non-starter. Absolutely has to change. The holding of the ball thing is interesting because watching him, it doesn't feel like to me he's holding it much longer than he was in 2022. And I guess a half a second to the eye probably is not going to stand out. Where I do agree with Dan Orlovsky is I do think Jalen, like, is floating out of the pocket too much, as we've discussed, which adds on to your time to throw. I do think Jalen sometimes doesn't see or doesn't trust the first read, and then the play gets kind of thrown off. I think that's become a problem with Jalen. And then, you know, obviously the turnovers are the other thing. So where I would agree with Dan Orlovsky is the chances that Jalen ever plays like he did in 2022 are probably slim. It just, they are. I mean, we saw Carson do it in 2017. We saw McNabb do it in 2004. I mean, that's, you know, almost 30 years of Eagles quarterbacking, 25 years of Eagles quarterbacking, and none of those guys have been able to repeat it. It's really hard to do. We saw Foles do 27-2 the one year, and he couldn't repeat that. So I don't think saying that he'll never be the same guy he was in 2022 is an extreme slight at Jalen. But what I do think Dan Orlovsky is saying is that Jalen is probably not good enough to win this team a Super Bowl. And that is where I think the real debate begins. Because while Jalen has shown he can make special plays, and I think Jalen adds a lot of positives, like Jason Kelce talked about this on the morning show, that he does a lot of good things. And I do think that James has brought this up. It is, you know, he is taking a lot more on his plate. And I think there's a lot of encouraging signs with how he's controlling the whole offense, the blitz protection, you know, recognizing man versus zone and changing the play based off that. Like, it sounds like in your fourth year, that shouldn't be a big deal. But when he hasn't been doing it, it matters. And I think the fact that he's doing all that is impacting his play after the snap. So I think there are some encouraging signs. But overall, it comes down to the turnovers. Can Jalen be a quarterback that wins this team a Super Bowl? Yes, I do believe that. I do think if things line up the right way and he is presented with the right path, he could do it. Do I think Jalen can outgun like Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes all in a row and win the Super Bowl? No, but I think really only Patrick Mahomes could maybe do that. So I think as with all players, it will require a bit of luck into things and for things to break his way. I don't think he needs to be the same player he was in 2022, but he does need to be better with the football, taking care of it, no matter what. No matter what the path is, there have got to be, in the playoffs, those consecutive games without turnovers. And that's the concerning part. Can he be the player that takes care of the ball that he was in 2022? That is the big question. So probably a little harsh from Dan Orlovsky, but I still think an interesting question. And yeah, probably ask you guys about it. Go Birds Radio Saturday from 1 to 3 at Bet Parks Casino. All right. Next up, we are going to dive into this game. Probably the most intriguing matchup of the entire game. On the other side, the Eagles offensive line versus the Bucks defensive line. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, so the Eagles' offensive line versus the Bucks' defensive line is the most important matchup in this game. And the reason it's the most important matchup is because it encompasses everything that that could happen for the Eagles to lose this game. This is going to be all about the Eagles' offensive line's ability to pick up and recognize the blitz against Todd Bowles and the Bucks' defensive line. Because individually, the Bucks' defensive line is not that great. Their best edge rusher, Yaya Diaby, 81 pass rush snaps this year, 2 quarterback hits, 13 hurries. Last year, 7.5 sacks, good number, nothing outstanding, but a good number. And he was 74th in hurries last year. Just not a great edge rusher. A nice edge rusher, but not somebody that can beat Jordan Mailata consistently. Now, Fred Johnson, if he has to play, you wonder about that, but he is not an outstanding edge rusher. Joe Tyron, 66 pass rush snaps this year, 1 sack, 73rd in hurries last year. So the Bucks edge rushers last year were both pretty much outside the top 75 in hurries. This is not a great edge rushing team. They don't have natural get pressure on themselves edge rushers. Their backups, nothing to write home about. Anthony Nelson, 38 pass rush snaps this year, 2 hurries, 3 hits. Chris Basswell, 34 pass rush snaps, 3 hits. So nobody in that edge rushing group should scare you. That one-on-one, now Fred Johnson's a wild card here. Fred Johnson played well last week, but he is a backup. But like against Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata, these guys have no shot of getting pressure on Jalen Hurts. The interior defensive tackles, also not that great. Greg Gaines, 100 pass rush snaps this year, only 2 hits. Logan Hall, 51 pass rush snaps this year, 1 hurry. And Vita Vea, who should play, is dealing with an injury, but should play. 51 pass rush snaps, 4 hurries. So their defensive tackles have over 200 pass rush snaps, 0 sacks, and 6 hurries. Like, that's not an intimidating group. They do blitz their linebackers, which we'll get to in a second. Levante David can get after the quarterback. KJ Britt can get after the quarterback. But they don't have the talent on the defensive line that the Packers do. They don't have the talent on the defensive line that the Falcons did in week 2. They really are a little more comparable to the Saints defensive line, but the difference between the Saints defensive line and the Bucks defensive line is the Bucks will blitz you into oblivion. If you look at the Buccaneers under Todd Bowles, last year they were 3rd in the NFL in blitzes. This year they're 4th in the NFL in blitzes. And what the Eagles have seen every time they play the Buccaneers is a healthy dose a healthy dose of blitzing. Now, what is also interesting is it has increased as it's gone on. If you look at Jalen Hurts' first game against the Buccaneers in 2021, it was a loss. He was blitzed 11 times. Then they played him next time in the playoffs. He was blitzed 23 times. Then the next time they played them, 2023, where they beat them early on in the season, he was blitzed on 30 of 40 dropbacks. And then in the playoffs last year, he was blitzed on 27 of 39 dropbacks. And my guess is that number would have been over 30 and definitely over 27 if the game was closer. So Todd Bowles feels he can blitz Jalen Hurts. But the other thing he feels is that he can blitz the Eagles' offensive line. So I asked Jordan Mailata about this today. And here's what Jordan Mailata had to say about the challenge of going up against the Buccaneers' defensive line.
Very smart defense. They know that the away team is using silent cadence, so they do a great job of getting off on the ball. They're pretty deep on the edge, so that's something that you need to be focused on, because they play both sides and understanding which personnel is out there, because they do multiple different fronts with their edges. So that's an advantage that they have, but we have an advantage with our coaches and in installing this playbook this week and what we're going to do to minimize those errors.
Do you notice any differences from last year? I know it's early in the season, but...
No, I don't see any. We're watching the movie like, this is what we got last year. Okay. It's like, all right, hopefully we can pick it up this year.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident going into this week, just from a preparation standpoint, considering we saw them again twice last year. Going into this week, I feel pretty confident that what we're seeing on film, and I feel like they do a lot more stuff to us than other teams, but that's a challenge that we have to answer.
So I think there's two really important things there. One is he talks about how smart they are and the different looks. He also mentions how the Buccaneers show the Eagles different things than they do other teams. Todd Bowles clearly feels he can trick the Eagles' offensive line and Jalen Hurts in blitzing. He doesn't think they'll recognize it. He doesn't think they can do it. Jordan Mailata, I think, knows that communication is going to be absolutely key, because it's one thing to recognize the blitz. It's another thing to correctly identify it and then let all five offensive linemen know what you're doing and have the quarterback be on the same page. Now, one benefit is Jalen is calling it this year. So once Jalen sees it, then he can communicate to the offensive line, who can then communicate to each other. So that is one thing to keep in mind if Lane doesn't play. Outside of just his ability as a player, his chemistry with that right guard, with that right guard is also big. If assuming it is, in fact, Mekhi Becton, which I think it will be, him and Fred Johnson have taken no snaps together in a game. I don't believe they overlapped at all in that game last week. So communication there will be absolutely key. On the left side, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, and now Cam Jurgens at the center. Mailata and Landon played together a ton. Now, they were not great in that playoff game when you consider the Buccaneers got pressure. So step one will be identifying the blitz and having the offensive line recognize it and execute it. If they can pick the blitz up, the Buccaneers don't have the talent, in my opinion, on the line to get pressure on Jalen. They just don't, especially with Jalen being better against the blitz this year. But Todd Bowles is going to bring all types of new looks. It's going to be the biggest high-pressure situation that this offense has faced this year yet when it comes to going against the blitz. So that is what this game comes down to. Can the Eagles' offensive line identify the blitz pressures from Todd Bowles, and can they execute against it? If they can, they can win this game despite missing AJ and Devontae. But if they can't, it wouldn't matter if they are out there. So that is the absolute key to this game. This will be the test. Now, if they fail it, it doesn't mean they're screwed for the whole season. It doesn't mean they'll never be able to pick it up. But this is going to be a really, really big test for the Eagles. So that is today's breakdown of the game. We will be with you on Saturday from 1 to 3. I might sneak in a daily pod for Saturday morning. I just can't imagine a world where I get home from the facility and don't want to record and talk about the Eagles. But you never know. So thank you guys so much for listening. I super, super appreciate it. You guys are the absolute best. Like I said, if you are in the path of Hurricane Helene, well wishes sent your way. I hope that everything is okay. And hopefully by time Sunday rolls around, we can all be watching this Eagles game together and see if they can end the first part of the season before the bye with a win. So as always, Thank you guys so much for listening. He is Elliot. I am James. And I'll talk to you guys later.